grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Come in, Chris Fowley from The Hemp Store up on K Road.
Whoa, coming at you loud and clear after a quick little 420 to prepare.
Good afternoon,
Johnny. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Chris, quick question. Around this time of year, as we're just about to hit the New Year Christmas period, it feels like the country has a bit of a dry spell when it comes to cannabis. Do you know if that is the case this year as well? Are you hearing people not having access to cannabis should they need it around the Christmas period?
It's a very good question. It certainly used to be the case. The old market report, we do put out feelers to get an idea of what people are going through out there, and especially patients and what they're having to pay and stuff. Certainly used to be the case, but I think increasingly less in the last few years, 5 to 10 years even. Certainly in Auckland, you know, the flow of indoor cannabis is unstoppable, so, you know, that just carries on year-round. I say resist profiteering, just like if you go to a shop and you feel like you're being ripped off with a fake special or prices that are too high. Resist this. If you have an unethical dealer who's putting the price up simply because it's Christmas, shame on them. Putting the price up because it's Christmas is like one of the worst things you could do.
Yes. I guess it's also quite timely to remind people that you can go to a green doctor and get a prescription and get some legitimate cannabis from the chemist.
That is exactly right. And hopefully they won't have any stocking issues because, yeah, there might be people wanting to get a bit more or worried that they might not be able to repeat their prescription in January or whatever. So hopefully they've stocked up ahead of time. But it's exactly right. Anyone can go to a clinic like I myself have done and lots of people. I got to say, all day, every day, people are coming into the hemp store and saying, can I buy my cannabis here, please? Can I get my CBD, please? Because this is where they would go any other country in the world where it's kind of legal or tolerated or whatever. And so they just expect it. People are coming in here constantly, as I say, all day, every day. And we're sending them down to the clinics or to their own doctor and saying, hey, you can get this on prescription. And gosh, I love getting the feedback from people, but, you know, to make someone happy like that where they can actually get it legally, same day even. And you know, cannabis bud and flower is available. There's a few more varieties have even been approved now. I think last week they had another 4 approved.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd recommend it. Go down and get your prescription and be legal at least some of the time.
Nice one. Now, Chris, where are we starting with cannabis in the media this week?
Well, speaking of being legal some of the time, that would be the DEA. Now, that's the Drug Enforcement Agency out of America, who are like the world's drug cops, and, the US thinks they are. So a major investigation by AP, the Associated Press, that they've spent a long time going over lots of documents and, interviewing original sources and things. And it's been printed in the Herald this week under the headline, "The DEA's Most Corrupt Agent, Jose Irizarry, talks about the party, sex, and the unwinnable war." And it turns out that these things that people in the drug reform community had often said, oh, the DEA is really corrupt and they have all the slush money and they traffic drugs just like everyone else and they pay people off and they turn a blind eye to their mates and then they let other things, you know, all of that stuff that people had thought was kind of conspiracy or whatever, turns out it's true. And every year, according to the Herald, printing this as facts now, every year the DEA launders tens of millions of dollars on behalf of the world's most violent drug cartels through shell companies. A tactic touted in long-running overseas operations such as Operation Whitewash that did result in more than 100 arrests and a seizure of $100 billion in a ton of cocaine, meanwhile turning a blind eye to other stuff and, as I say, actually washing money for these cartels and allowing drugs to hit the street. We're not talking cannabis here, by the way, too, as well. They have faced a lot of criticism and for that, and there's some sort of review, of course. You've got to review these things. So, there's on the one hand, one way we could go about things. And in fact, lawmakers in America currently, there's a House subcommittee that met this week, and they debated decriminalizing cannabis nationwide at the federal level, and what should happen to marijuana convictions, should they be expunged, and that kind of thing. Noting, of course, currently 21 states in America, plus a bunch of territories like Guam and Washington, D.C., have legal adult use, and 37 states allowing medical, so, you know, things are really moving there. But Normal testified, Normal America testified at the committee there, and they were asked, you know, is there the numbers in Congress to make this happen? And this is Paul Armentano, who's been running Normal over there for a long time, and he said, it's hard to say, because if facts, cultural opinion, public opinion, and science was driving this train, we would already have a very different cannabis policy than the one we have now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of quote of the day right there, what we're kind of up against, I guess.
Yes. That's crazy.
But hey, on some good news, though, and it's the Herald, again, back in the Herald, ran a story, this was from Shane Tupou, and part of their series called Rebuilding Better, where they're looking, well, obviously the hint's on the name there, how to rebuild better. What are the lessons from Portugal on drug reform?
Mm-hmm.
And this is behind a paywall, unfortunately, but I did manage to hack some access. And so Shane Tupou, it turns out he visited Porto, which is in Portugal, and he's met with some people over there and noted, you know, back here in Aotearoa, you know, we do pride ourselves on being world leaders in a lot of areas, particularly social areas and things, but strangely, we've kind of fallen really behind on drug policy, or cannabis policy in particular, because we do, you know, we do lead with substance testing and needle exchange and things like that, but, you know, we're really behind on cannabis policy. And as he notes, we've got this repressive law that, you know, written 50 years ago, 50 years out of date, much use drugs act, that is just all about punishing people. So Portugal used to do that. They had a dictator called Salazar, and he had really full-on laws that you couldn't even get a cigarette lighter, is what Shane Tupou is writing in here. You had to get a license to get a cigarette lighter. So they had really full-on laws, and these full-on laws led to a really high overdose and death rate associated with drugs. And so they went the other way, 2001, so 21 years ago, decriminalized drug possession. And instead of arresting people, they got access to healthcare and didn't face any kind of legal repercussions. And so now, instead of having one of the highest drug overdose rates in Europe, they have a rate that's a quarter the European average.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in that same kind of time span, New Zealand's drug overdose has gone up 54%.
Okay.
So, you know, 2021, last year, 171 people died of a drug overdose in New Zealand. So, taking a lesson from Portugal and decriminalisation really is a starting point there. Mm-hmm.
This is a part of a wider Herald piece on, you know, improving New Zealand post-COVID. We've got an opportunity to really look at what we're doing here and how it can be done better.
That is exactly right.
Yes.
And good on them for doing that and for including drug policy, you know, in that series. So, you know, credit to the Herald for doing that. And if people want to support that, the Action Station petition for decriminalising and wiping those criminal records from people who have them, that's still live. It's nearing 9,000 signatures. I know the Drug Foundation want to put that in fairly soon. So, you know, people are going to jump on there and spread that around. It's Action Station. Decriminalise cannabis petition and, you know, get in there and sign it.
Nice one.
Yeah, right on. Hey, I got it. Just on a just to prime people, of course, we have a little prize to give away from the hemp store. And you, I should have said this at the beginning, because we ask a little question. You've got to be listening closely. There's going to be a question at the end, a skill question, because this week we're giving away some hemp protein powder, a cool kilo of hemp protein powder, and some Blue Earth NZ hemp seed soaps. So it's like the hemp prize pack, and there's going to be a little question just coming up in a couple of minutes. But one more story to go, and that's this was actually reported on Radio New Zealand yesterday in the old farming report at midday, which was quite cool to listen to. And that's this new study out of Germany where these scientists of the German Federal Institute for Risk Assessment fed a bunch of cows. There's only 10 of them, but, you know, 10 lactating cows. They fed them different amounts of hemp feed. And the reason being is that farmers want to feed their animals hemp feed because it's a very low-cost thing for them to grow some or get some from someone nearby, and very high in nutrients and energy, and it seems to relax them, you know, make them better for transport and certain stages of where they're at and things. You know, personally, as a vegetarian, all this kind of stuff about how industrial farming and that is a bit weird. But anyway, it is what it is. So they wanted to look at it, and they gave them a whole bunch of varying amounts of varying amounts of cannabinoids in the hemp. Some that was kind of regular hemp, and some that was high CBD hemp. And so it turns out what they found is that 20% of the cannabinoids that they consumed ended up in the milk of the cows, and they were feeding them up to 1.8 kilos a day of hemp, you know, including the flowers in there, which would have the a bit of CBD and a bit of THC. It doesn't have a lot of THC, very small amounts, it is hemp, and but if you're having 1.8 kilos of it, you know, it's all going to add up. So still, after the study, despite all the headlines and despite what they actually said on Radio New Zealand yesterday, it is actually unclear, if you read the study, whether there was enough there to get people high, and they didn't look at it and they didn't make that conclusion. But here's me thinking, well, this actually sounds pretty good. As long as it's on the label, yes. I quite like that. And especially a CBD milk. Yeah. Sounds awesome. So as long as it's on the label, right? I mean, I think this is a huge opportunity for cannabinoid fortified milk.
Yes.
But in terms of farmers wanting to use it, you know, it might mean that, because here, it's not allowed here in New Zealand. Who is it, MB or MPI? MPI have, you know, stopped that. But, you know, if it's not going into an actual food-producing animal, then it could still be used.
Chris, I thought with THC, I thought to make it active, if you're going to consume it, it has to be heated before. I mean, if you're going to eat raw hemp, it's actually not going to do anything. Is it different for cows?
That's a bloody good point. Yeah. Decarboxylated. Yeah, normally through heating, but can be done in some other ways. And yeah, that's right. They were measuring the THCA, the inactive form, plus the THC, plus the metabolites, and kind of adding it all up together. So that is exactly right, Johnny. You have zoned in, or you've got right there to a kind of interesting potential flaw of the study. Perhaps they were not measuring, you know, only active things, but inactive things as well.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Now, Chris, have you got a question for us for this prize, which was Kiwi Canna NZ Hemp Protein Powder and Blue Earth NZ Hemp Seed Soap?
Whoa, here it is. What percent of the cannabinoids ended up in the milk? Just said. We just told it to you. So, get your answer in there with your B card. And hopefully win that prize, and that'd be awesome. And hey, one last thing, and that's that next Friday, well, next Thursday, in fact, we're starting our DAC Friday sale. Mm-hmm. Everyone does Black Friday, but we do DAC Friday. So, you know, come on down or see our website for a few good specials. But, you know, if you want to come and have a DAC Friday with me next Friday, well, that'll be fantastic too. And in 2 weeks is the next First Thursday, which we will have the Drug Foundation here in the shop doing their substance testing. So if you've got any interesting bits and bobs and you want to bring them in, that is the 1st of December, 2 weeks from tonight.
Legend. Hey, thank you very much, Chris Fowley from the Hemp Store. Everyone out there listening, either hop online or just, pop in and see Chris up there on K Road.
Right on.
All right, cheers, dude.
Cheers, dude. See ya.
Bye. Do it, dude.
That was Marijuana Media.
To the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with